The special ten Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you back once again to our silsila, the special 10, where we are discussing the blessed lives of those 10 companions who were given glad tidings of heaven within this world by the tongue of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we had started to look at the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and we looked at his greatness from in the light of the Quran and Hadith. And inshallah we will continue with his blessed life today, but before that inshallah let's listen to a blessing of reciting durood upon the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Salam, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, visited his brother, Sayyidina Uthman, rahmatullahi alayhi, who was looking very happy. And he was saying that, I was privileged to behold the beloved and blessed Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in my dream today. I saw the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in my dream today. The beloved Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave me a container filled with water. I drank the water to my fullest, and still, I can still feel its coolness. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Salam, rahmatullahi ta'ala, asked, how did you obtain this rank? He, rahmatullahi ta'ala, replied, by virtue and the blessings of reciting Salat ala Nabi in abundance. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, we are discussing the blessed life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And he is a Sahabi of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we talk about the Sahaba al-Karam alayhi wa ridwan, we first need to set it before we discuss this, the life of this blessed personality and this blessed individual. We need to look at the ranks of the companions alayhi wa ridwan. So, what the scholars have stated is that it is the ijma' and the consensus of the Ahlul Sunnah that after the Prophets alayhimus salatu was salam, after the Messengers alayhimus salatu was salam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr is the most highly ranked and supreme personality of the entire universe. And this is the individual that we are discussing right now, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And this is his greatness. And then what? Followed by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. These four Khulafa'i Rashideen, the four caliphs, they are the highest in terms of rank. And after that, then the rest of the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 companions who we are focusing upon in this silsila of ours. Then after these 10 companions come the rest of the Ahlul Badr, those companions who fought in the Battle of Badr. Then the Ahlul Uhud, those companions that took part in the Battle of Uhud and fought. And then the rest of the Ahl Bayt Ridwan, those who made the pledge of allegiance to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the remainder of the Sahaba, the remainder of the companions alayhim ridwan. So this ijma', this consensus has been quoted by Sayyidina Abu Mansur Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Ibn Asakir rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And Ibn Asakir rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has actually reported that Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, we would attribute Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een with excellence and high ranks in the state that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was among us. So even during the physical life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions alayhim ridwan, they would attribute these four with greatness and with a high status. Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi and other scholars, they have narrated from Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, that he radiallahu anhu said, after the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum are the best of this ummah. And this is Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem saying. Likewise, Az-Zahabi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated that this narration of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem is bit tawatur. It has multiple transmissions and multiple chains that it has been passed down from. So, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we see the love that these companions alayhim radwan had amongst each other. Like Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem has praised Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an. Now, for a lot of us, it will be a surprise now that we are getting to the introduction of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an. If I was to question any of our viewers, and what would the answer be? If I was to ask, what is the name of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an? Because we so commonly know him as Abu Bakr, but a lot of us would be actually shocked to hear that that's not his name. That's not his name. That is what we call a kunniya. His kunniya is Abu Bakr. Now, generally how kunniyas work is a person is given this kunniya after his son or after his daughter. So for example, if somebody is called Abu Abdullah, so that means there's a good chance that he has a son called Abdullah, and this is why he is called Abu Abdullah. And for ladies or for women, it works with so and so. So for example, the kunniya of the mother of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an is Ummul Khair. But that's not always the case. Sometimes the kunniya is used figuratively as well. It's used metaphorically. So it's not after a person's son's or daughter's name, but due to a quality that he possesses, due to an attribute that he possesses within himself. So likewise, for example, the kunniya of Abu Huraira radiallahu an. So what is the name of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an? What is his real name? There are a few sayings, but the most authentic saying that the scholars have narrated is his name is Abdullah. Abdullah, the son of Uthman. So, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu an narrates from his father that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, his name is Abdullah ibn Uthman. Now, also when we look at Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, like when we end Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, what is that? And this is a title of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Now, in Arabic, in the Arabian tradition and their culture, if something or someone is known by many names and it has many titles, it is often the case that this person or this thing is important in some way. It has a high status, it has a high rank. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an had many titles granted to him. He had many titles that were given to him. So we will briefly look at some of his titles and some of his al-qabat that he was given. The most famous out of his two titles are Atiq and Siddiq. Atiq and Siddiq. So the first title, Atiq, it is narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu an, that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, his name was Abdullah. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Anta atiqun minan nar." You are freed from the hellfire. From then onwards, he started to be called and addressed as Atiq. That is one narration. Also, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she has stated, a part of a narration is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man arata an yanzura ila atiqin minan nar, falyanzur ila Abi Bakr." That whoever desires to see a person freed from the hellfire, so he should look at Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So from there onwards, he became famously known as Atiq. Also, some of the scholars have narrated that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his features, his physical features and his facial features, he was very beautiful and handsome. So for this reason, the scholars have stated, إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَ عَتِيقًا لِحُسْنِ وَجْهِهِ. He was called Atiq due to the beauty of his face. And another attribute and a quality and that he possessed, which we addressed in the previous episode, is that he would buy slaves and he would free them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is another reason why, because he was so kind-hearted, that, for example, Sayyidina Bilal Habshi radiyallahu an, he bought him and freed him from the oppression of his owner who was oppressing him. So due to buying and freeing a slave, he became called and he became known as Atiq. So these were some of the narrations that have been narrated regarding his title Atiq. Likewise, when we look at Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu an, and his second title Siddiq. Now, what are the reasons why is he known as Siddiq? Siddiq, it is narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, Ya Aba Bakr, Inna Allah qad sammaka Siddiq. That, O Abu Bakr, indeed Allah has granted you the title Siddiq. Allah has named you Siddiq. So this is one narration that Allah Azza wa Jal has granted this title to him. And in another narration by Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu an, he has stated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, Ya Jibreel, inna qawmi yattahimuni wa la yusaddiquni. That, O Jibreel, my nation will slander me and they will not testify me. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam requested in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, In ittahamaka qawmuk, فَإِنَّ أَبَا بَكْرٍ يُصَدِّقُكَ وَهُوَ الصِّدِّيقُ. Meaning, even if your nation slanders you and blames you, so then what? Abu Bakr, he will testify you because he is Siddiq. So he was named and Siddiq through the tongue of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. And in another narration, Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, when he was asked to mention something about Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu an, what does Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem say? He says, ذَاكَ إِمْرَأٌ سَمَّاهُ اللَّهُ صِدِّيقًا عَلَى لِسَانِ جِبْرِيلِ وَمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ. That he is that individual. He is that individual. What can we say about his greatness? He is that individual whom Allah Azza wa Jal has named Siddiq through the tongue of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Likewise, when we look at the blessed life and the blessed seerah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, one beautiful attribute and one beautiful quality that stands out from his, within his life is that he was known as Siddiq prior to the Islamic era. Before even he accepted Islam, before the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced his prophethood, in the days of ignorance, when people had many evil habits, even then he was known as Siddiq. Why? Because he would always speak the truth. And nothing but the truth left his mouth. And this is one thing that we need to focus upon now. This is once again, what can we pick up from the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu an? He had such a beautiful character. And he had such beautiful attributes that even before the announcement of prophethood by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people would call him Siddiq because of this beautiful habit of being truthful that he had. Now if we look at being truthful and lying, ma'azallah, so what are the harms of lying? Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuh Min Aliyah, alhamdulillah, within his booklets and within his written works, he addresses elders and the youngsters alike. He has compiled some books for children, so they consist of true stories and what we can obtain out of them. But alhamdulillah, the Madani pearls mentioned in there are beneficial to both the youngsters, children, and the elderly alike. So I will mention a few points from one of his booklets, The Lying Thief. Sayyidina Hatim Asam rahmatullahi ta'ala has mentioned that it has been relayed to us that a liar will change into a dog in hell. One who envies will change into a pig, and a backbiter will change into a monkey. And then Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuh Mal Aliyah, he has narrated an incident, and then from there he mentions some Madani pearls regarding truthfulness and regarding avoiding a lie. A man said to Imam Muhammad bin Sirin rahmatullahi ta'ala, who is a very famous Imam in terms of dream interpretations in particular. So he said to him that I had a dream that I am holding a glass bowl filled with water, which was broken, but the water still remained in it in the same way. Listening to this, Imam Muhammad bin Sirin rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he said, Fear Allah Azza wa Jal. meaning don't tell a lie, because you have not dreamt anything like this. That man began to say, Subhanallah, I'm telling you a dream, and you're saying that you haven't seen any dream? He rahmatullah ta'ala replied, undoubtedly, no doubt, it is a lie, and I am not responsible of the consequences of this lie. If you have really dreamt it, then your wife will give birth to a child and then die, but the child will remain alive. Now, while departing, leaving, the person said from behind, by Allah Azza wa Jal, I swear by Allah Azza wa Jal, I have not dreamt anything like this. Listening to him, somebody commented and somebody said, but Imam Muhammad bin Sirin rahmatullahi ta'ala has conveyed the interpretation of the dream. So the narrator of this story, of this parable, he says that Sayyidina Hisham rahmatullahi ta'ala said, not much time passed when the man who told a false dream had a child, but his wife died and his child remained alive. So because of the consequences of relating a false dream. Now, telling a lie and telling a false dream is haram and prohibited. And it's a sinful act that leads to hell. Now, why are we discussing this? Is something for us to learn. A liar, he will suffer horrible torment even after his death as well. The beloved Prophet ﷺ has stated that in my dream, a person came to me and requested, accompany me, come with me. So I accompanied him, and I saw two people at a place. One of whom was sitting, and the other was standing. So now the one who was standing had pincers made of steel in his hand. He would put into the jaw of the man who was sitting, and drag them to rip up to his neck. He would then take them out, put them into the other jaw, and drag them in the same way. And in the meantime, the first jaw would restore to its normal condition, it would heal. And then this punishment continued. I asked the person who brought me, what is this? He replied, this person is a liar. And he will be tormented in this way in the grave until the day of judgment. And once during Madani Mudhakara, Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhu al-Aliyah, to give us an idea, he mentioned that if you even lightly just drag yourself from the sides of your cheeks and feel the pain, and even if we do it too harshly, we will injure ourselves. And imagine being ripped, your jaw completely being ripped all the way to the neck, and then switching to this side, and while in the meantime this side is healed, so it comes back and it's non-stop pain. Now we need to ask ourselves, whenever we are tempted to lie, is it worth it to deceive a person for about 10 seconds in this world? What are we avoiding? Maybe we are avoiding a shouting, a telling off. Is it worth it to avoid a 10 seconds worth of telling off and shouting and risking it for a severe punishment like this? And if we now look at how common lying is, and the Prophet ﷺ, he has said that there is no goodness in lying. Now there are, I would like to here present a few examples, because sometimes it has become such a routine in our life that we lie and we don't even realize that we're lying. So to open up our mind to this, that so that we start to recognize where we're lying and we start to avoid it, I'm going to present a few examples that relate to all of us, from some to children, some to youngsters, some to elderly alike as well. So for example, when a child comes, and this is for the children now to ponder over, that do I do this? And if I do this, I need to avoid. So for example, if a child comes and nobody's actually hit him, and he says, or nobody's actually swore at him, but he goes to his mom or dad and he says, so and so hit me, or he swore at me, to get him into trouble. If he didn't do so, this is lying. And likewise, even though you've shouted at somebody, or you've said something to him, now your mother or your father asks, and you say, I didn't say anything to him, without thinking, this is a lie. So we need to be careful when we speak. Likewise, if you have broken your toy, but you blame somebody else, oh, he's broken my toy. Now this is for all of us. Now the next point is for all of us. Whether the children, they come and the parents say, come and eat, and even though he's hungry, he says, oh, I'm not hungry. Or whether we are invited by somebody, and they invite us, and we say, oh, we're not hungry. But in reality, we are. This is also lying. We need to be careful about every sentence that we're uttering. So likewise, for example, when children are given lunch to take to school, but they don't like it, so they don't actually eat it. They maybe give it to somebody else, or they chuck it away, and they eat from outside. But when they come back home, and mom or dad asks, and they say, yes, I ate it, that's also lying. So likewise, whether children, younger children, or teenagers who are in high school, when we're sat in our own bedroom, and the parents ask, have you completed your homework? And we say, yes, but in reality, we haven't. This is also lying. But if we ponder over all these things there, and we focus, a lot of us are involved in these things, because we don't consider them lying. We don't think about them, and we say so without any hesitation, because we don't consider it a lie. But we need to be careful about everything we utter. When children go to sleep in the night, and mom asks, have you brushed your teeth? Even if they haven't, they say, yes, this is lying. And likewise for all of us, whether we're youngsters, children, or teenagers, or elders, when they are given something to do, for example, children are given homework, they go back the next day to school, and they say, oh, I was ill and I couldn't do it. Or when an elderly person is given any responsibility, they say, oh, I couldn't do it because I was ill. But in reality, he wasn't. This is lying. So once again, to avoid just a bit of humiliation here for about 10 seconds or maybe however long, we're risking ourselves, putting ourselves at risk of a much more severe punishment in the afterlife. So this is something that we need to be pondering over, and we need to think about, and we need to ensure that we get rid of this habit of lying. So Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, we have learned about Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anh, that he was so truthful even before the Islamic era, before the announcement of prophethood by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that people would call him Siddiq because of how truthful he was. Another title of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, which is not so commonly known, which we might not know, but it's a beautiful title and a laqab that is granted to him, is Awwah, meaning somebody who does a lot of dua, who supplicates a lot, and who is very humble. So he supplicates a lot and he is humble. He is full of humbleness. So we see that Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anh, he was very humble, and when we discuss his qualities, inshallah, this is something that we'll touch upon. And also he was kathir ud-du'a, he would make a lot of du'a, he would supplicate a lot. To the extent that when we look in the books of ahadith, there are many du'as and many supplications that have been narrated by him. He has passed on these du'as, and these are specific du'as which have been passed down by Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So for this reason, the scholars have stated that he was given this this title of Allah. Once again, what can we pick up from here? As we know that the dua is the weapon of the believer. Now we need to ponder, when was the last time that I used this weapon? When was it the last time that I sat alone and just me in the court of my Lord, and I supplicated and I did dua from the bottom of my heart? Sometimes when we go to pray and we are doing dua, when the imam is doing dua, but that dua, we're looking around, we're not focused. When was it the last time that I used this weapon? And if we have not done dua truthfully and sincerely, yet we are crying and mourning over the problems that we face, over the issues that we have. When was it that we sincerely did dua in the court of our Lord to resolve these issues and these problems? So Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, this is another thing that we pick up, and this is another intention that we can make, that when we do dua, we do so with full focus and with full concentration, and we need to start doing dua more in the court of our Lord. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, our Rabb, our Lord is so merciful and so kind that in the world, you ask somebody and you ask again and again, they will start to get irritated and they will hate you. But our Rabb is so generous, so merciful, that the more you ask Him, the more He loves you. The more you ask from His court, the more He loves you, and inshallah, the more He will grant you. And when we do dua, what should our attitude be? There are many Madani Phals that we can discuss, but as the time is coming to an end, I would just like to mention one Madani Phal regarding dua. Because when we do dua, we need to have hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, that this dua is going to be accepted. That this dua is going to be accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because a person's dua is dealt with as he thinks of it. So if we're doing dua and we're thinking, well, it's not going to be accepted anyway, but I might as well give it a shot. I might as well take a chance. This is not the attitude that we should have when we're doing dua, in order for our du'as to be accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So do dua and have full hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah Azza wa Jal will answer my prayer. So Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, today we have briefly looked at a very brief introduction of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. There's still much more to come. We've looked at what his real name was and some of his titles that he was given, and what we can pick up from his life regarding, in particular, the Madani pearls that we have discussed regarding truthfulness and lying. So may Allah Azza wa Jal grant us the ability to remember and act upon and pass on to others everything that we have heard today, and also keep in touch with Madani Channel, stay tuned with Madani Channel and the different other silsilas of Madani Channel as well. Keep your children, ensure that your children are also watching Madani Channel and learning about these blessed personalities, learning about our pious predecessors, so that they have a role model, they have an idea, and they have a role model to look up to. They have individuals who they aspire, who they aspire to become like. So may Allah Azza wa Jal grant us the ability to do so. Ameen, bijah al-Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special ten Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten